team's goal. Of course, Big East championship.
I think we have a lot more length, and that's really one of our strengths.
No matter what we do, we always have to bring energy from the beginning.
Can't be just one person. It has to be the whole entire team.
Whatever happens, you gotta stay locked in, stay motivated, and do what you gotta do to be the player you wanna be.
Hello and welcome to Full Court Press with the Georgetown Voices Basketball Podcast. I'm Beth, your host. We have Errol.
Hi.
Aaron.
Hello.
And Jorge.
Hey, everybody.
With us here in the Voice office. So both the women's and the men's team started Big East play while we were gone for winter break. So we're just going to dissect what we've seen so far. The women are 2-4 in the Big East. They beat Xavier to start, but then lost to Butler, they beat Providence, and then went on a three-game losing streak with losses to Creighton, DePaul, and Marquette. What have you guys seen so far from this team? What do you think is stopping them from being, 3-3, 4-2 in the Big East?
I mean, right off the Creighton game, because that was just a fluke. They got blown out by 27 and scored 38 points. That's an anomaly for their offensive performance, so we can ignore that game. Now, as far as these last two games, the DePaul and Marquette, who were in theory ranked coming into the week, or like at least receiving votes, the consensus top two in the Big East in the preseason, and they were close. It was, tie games. Georgetown had leads with maybe 2 minutes to go or whatever it was, and they just didn't execute down the stretch. But they finally figured it out. So I think the 2-4 record is just a product of them playing these two good teams at the end, because I think most other teams in the Big East, they would have gotten at least one of those.
I think one of the biggest issues that the team is facing right now is just, I think Coach Howard is still trying to figure out how to effectively use his rotation. I think looking at down the stretch, especially in the Marquette and the DePaul game, we've seen extended moments in which Brown or Jones was sitting on the bench, and he utilized Morgan Smith a lot down the stretch, in which Morgan Smith is known for her defense, whereas Brianna Jones is known more for her offense. And so I remember in the DePaul game, I believe Brianna Jones sat on the bench for pretty much all of the fourth quarter until Morgan Smith fouled out, as well as a good chunk of the third quarter. And so it was in moments like that in which the lead started to slip away. And so I think by inserting Brianna Jones into more situations like that, where she can go in and kind of be the pace of that offense and kind of be another voice on the offensive end and kind of get the ball moving, that will help kind of jumpstart the stagnant offense at times.
I think a lot of their struggles comes from their streaky defensive performances. I think a lot of the time they'll play really hard on defense for a certain portion of the game and then be lax in other whole quarters of the game, and I think that was especially evident today. They held, I think, the 8th-ranked scoring offense in the country to 7 points in the first quarter. But then in the second quarter, throughout the rest of the game, it kind of fell apart. Their effort kind of falls off a little bit, and I think it's kind of pacing that throughout the entire game. Rather than you can come out strong, but it needs to be there for the entire game at a steady level for you to be successful.
Yeah, I agree with Jorge in that had they played this well as they did the last two games against probably anyone else in the Big East, they would have won those games. And sometimes it's hard just to be able to stop the Marte Grays and the Natasha Heidelmans of the world, no matter like how good your defense is. I think it was very beneficial for Georgetown that Marte Grays got into foul trouble in the DePaul game. But I'm still wondering, and we talked about this on the last podcast, who else can the Hoyas turn to? And I mean, part of that has to do with putting, like, who Coach Howard puts on the floor. Because if he's not putting Brianna Jones on the floor, if he's not putting Tatiana Thompson on the floor, then maybe they're not the people that we look to score. But aside from Deanna White, aside from Dorothy Adamako, aside from Michaela Vinson, all of whom are leading the team in scoring in double digits, where can this team go?
I mean, I think the answer really is in the two names that you said, Tatiana Thompson. Tatiana Thompson and Brianna Jones. I think when they do play, we see results from them. Fans are able to sit and watch and see, Thompson get in, and you know she's known for her low post moves, or you know you can see Brandon Jones get in and you know screaming on defense, you know getting her teammates kind of in the right positions. And so I think you know as the season progresses, you know Coach Howard is going to need to be able to put them in more and have them kind of be the pace of, you know, whether it is the defense or the offense, whatever he's looking for, because Thompson is kind of a defensive mismatch for most teams. You know, she's a bigger body. She can really guard, you know, positions 2, 3, 4, even a 5 if they're a smaller 5. So, you know, utilizing that mismatch on the defensive end and then capitalizing on the offensive end, I think, will be something that's beneficial to kind of piggyback off going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Errol there, because you look, especially with Tatiana Thompson, because she played 7 minutes over the two games this weekend, and she scored 4 points against DePaul. And granted, that game's different with Marte Grace in foul trouble and off the floor and whatever, and that's a separate issue in, you know, not necessarily being able to take away those better players, because the players you're looking at in those games, Marte Grace, with Alzaya Blockton out in the Marquette game, it's Natasha Heidemann and Erica Davenport, are still having good games, you know, getting double-doubles, scoring 22 points. So they need to be able to take that away. But scoring-wise, again, I think Tatiana Thompson needs to be there, and Brianna Jones, they need to play a little bit more. Because when they're on, they tend to score, or at least provide more energy.
Yeah, 100% agree about Jones and Thompson. Just one other name to mention would be Kovachikova. I think I mentioned on the last podcast that I think that she's really talented, but that confidence is a bit of an issue for her. And I think that's... I don't know if that's changed that much as we've gotten through Big East play. She made a three today. I think she's overall has a very smooth offensive game, but I think it's more just if she can be, especially if she can become a smooth outside shooter, another offensive weapon, that's going to take so much pressure off of White and Benson. And obviously, she's going to develop over time at Georgetown. She's only a freshman, but if she can just somehow find that confidence and be a more aggressive scorer, I think that would really help the team.
And she also... I think does a lot of things that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. You know, she, you know, crowds the defender, you know, who has the ball. She's going to go out and make sure that, you know, even if she can't get the rebound, she's going to tap it so someone on her team can get it. You know, I think she does a lot of those little things that, you know, you might not look at the stat sheet and say, oh, well, she had an impact on the game. But when you go back and watch film, or if you're, you know, in the arena watching the game, you can actually see kind of some of the little things that she does. That's why it was so alarming, I think, to many when she disappeared a little bit throughout the middle of this middle of the first part of the season. She didn't really have many stats and, you know, wasn't really scoring. So it was kind of a question of, like, what was she doing? And I think that is where she kind of was fine-tuning some of her things that she was, that the non-stat sheet showers. And so now I think, you know, now is the time for her to kind of become more of that complete, you know, complete as a freshman, you know, that complete player, and be able to do a little bit of everything. And then that's the way as you move forward in your career, you're able to fine-tune those things and become a complete player.
At the same time, I think the fact that she's not put up huge stats, and she is kind of like a scoring player, but she hasn't put up huge stats, but yet she continues to start as we're going through Big East play. I think that means we're not at practices, but I think maybe Howard's seeing something in her that we're not necessarily seeing that bodes well for her future, I think.
Yeah, I was just going to say the move to put her in the starting lineup the last two games has been huge, I think, for this team. Because Howard kind of got a starting lineup and he stuck with it, and then Morgan got hurt and he put Brianna Jones in there. But the way that they started against Marquette, the way that they started against DePaul, I think shows that they're starting to figure it out. And I think having Kovachikova in the starting lineup is huge for this team. Just going forward, they've seen 6 teams in the Big East already. It's looking like this team, this league is a lot tougher than maybe they thought it was going to be. The top, DePaul and Marquette, are at the top, but Butler is undefeated. Providence and Xavier, who were supposed to not be competitors at all, gave Georgetown fits. What do you guys expect from them going forward? Next week, they have Villanova. After that, they have St. John's and Seton Hall. How do they bounce back, and how do they come back from, you know, being down?
I mean, as far as prospects for the season, they probably have to win all 3, especially Villanova and St. John's. They got swept by those 2 teams last year. So they got to beat Villanova at home. They have to go to St. John's and win, because those 2 teams are combined 3-8 now. So that's not as good as you'd expect them to be. And then they have to take care of business against Seton Hall, who they typically are able to, although Seton Hall has been a bit better this year. I mean, Seton Hall beat Creighton. Yeah. But, like, they have to win all 3. they have to finish this first half of the season above 500, because we know they always hit their stride second half of the Big East season, and they make a push and get to 500. But they need to finish above 500 if they want any shot at getting an at-large bid to the tournament.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Especially, like, you know, after the 0-2 weekend this weekend, next weekend just one game on Saturday against Villanova, you know, that's going to be a big game for the Hoyas. It's always Adriana Hahn and Mary Gadeka, you know, and Harry Preda, when they come to town, you know, they bring their A game every time. And so I think it's going to be a really big game for our entire team to kind of get, you know, get back in the win column. Let's get some complete scoring through, you know, players 1 through 15 and be able to really have, I think, a strong performance, because Villanova right now, like you said, Jorge, they are struggling. You know, they're not looking like the dominant team that they were, you know, they were last year and seasons prior. But, you know, it's always good to have a flashbulb memory. So, you know, everyone's going to have to do away with that. And so next weekend is going to be a fresh start for both teams, and they're going to have to come and, you know, really fight it out to try and get that, you know, next step forward towards the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm just personally very excited for the Villanova game, because I remember last year when they came, I think I was covering that game, and Villanova pulled it out by 2 just at the end, and it was very upsetting. But, and I know this is a team that plays a lot of passion, and that's a lot where they get a lot of their energy. So if they can get a win in that game, and, you know, shove it in Han's face, and that would be, I mean, I think that would be big for the team. Just, and going forward, they need to have, like, one of those statement wins where they, everything goes, I don't think they've had that yet, where everything goes well for them. The Howard's game plan is perfectly executed, and they have a defensive effort that's consistent throughout. If they have that against Villanova, that would be huge, I think.
I think Villanova last year, in the 2 times I saw them in the regular season, Villanova beat them by 3 combined points. Mm-hmm. And then, in the Big East tournament, Georgetown finally pulled it out. But it would be great to see them get that win, and take that up until their weekend in North Jersey and New York after that. On the men's side, the men started Big East play. They are 2-2 in Big East play. Probably should be 2-2, but not with the wins and losses that they have. They started out against Butler. It was a good overall team win. Some are dubbing it the Greg Malinowski game. Then they came home and played St. John's and did that Georgetown thing where they blow a 4-point lead in 10 seconds to send the game to overtime. We're not able to contain Shamori Ponds in overtime, because honestly, who can contain Shamori Ponds ever? Then took that bad momentum and lost to Xavier, blowing a 17-point lead in Cincinnati. But just yesterday on Saturday, they pulled out a miraculous double overtime win over Providence, thanks to 33 points from Jesse Govan, a huge buzzer beater 3 to send it to the first overtime from like a 30-foot 3 from Mac McClung, and then another 3 to send the game to double overtime from James Akinjo. It was one of the most wild games I think I've been at.
Did Mac call bank? That's my question.
Bank's always open. Bank's always open.
It was Saturday.
So, what have you guys seen so far? This team could very well be 4-0 in the Big East. I think that's really frustrating for me. But to also fight back yesterday to not be 1-3 in the Big East when they have to play the ranked Marquette on Tuesday is great. What have you guys seen in Big East play so far? What do you think? What are your reactions so far?
I think the biggest, I guess I would say the biggest surprise, if that's the word I want to use, has been just the defensive superstar that Jamarco Pickett has grown into. You know, I think, you know, yesterday's game, yes, there was the Mac shot, yes, there was the James shot, you know, but Jamarco Pickett is what kept us in that game. He had several blocks. I think he had 4 blocks throughout the entire game. He limited Alpha Diallo to numerous tough shots, you know, made him work for every basket. Even when he was switched onto the larger Nate Watson, he made Nate Watson work for every point that he got. So, you know, Jamarco Pickett really kept Georgetown in the game yesterday. And in as well as in our other Big East games so far, as, you know, he's really been that player that is guarding, you know, the best, the opposing team's best offensive player day in and day out, and making sure that, you know, they work for every point that they're going to get.
Just going off that, in the postgame interviews, Ewing has just time and time again praised Pickett, because a lot of reporters have been, you know, questioning a little bit why a player who was, we thought was so good as a freshman and maybe expected to become like an all-around offensive weapon in his sophomore season has maybe fallen off a little bit in some areas. But Ewing has time and time again praised his defensive effort, his all-around, the stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. As Errol mentioned, the four blocks and guarding Diallo. I mean, he's definitely been a huge influence, even if people don't exactly take notice to it.
Yeah, I mean, there's that quote from Ewing. He said last year there was, like, no way in heck that I would put him on the best player on the other team. Now it's just, like, a commonplace thing because he's a defensive superstar. And if anyone's going to stop Alpha Diallo from scoring a game-winning three, what's him?
Yeah, I mean, not only that, but also, you know, at the end of the game, I think the possession before Georgetown gets the go-ahead dunk from Jesse to, you know, make it a two-point game. Granted, Providence goes down and scores, but I think Pickett goes up, gets the offensive rebound before Ewing calls timeout, and that's something we just would not have seen that year, to see Jamarco Pickett skying above, you know, three other players and coming down with a huge rebound. I mean, he's grown, and, you know, if he starts scoring again, part of it is he's not taking as many shots as he would have, but if he starts scoring again, look out.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. I think this season you can kind of see similarities to the game that he's playing this season. Reminds me of very similar to the game that Caleb Johnson played last season, of guarding the best scorer on the floor every night and then making sure that although you're not scoring, you know, 5, 10, 15 points a night, you know, you're making sure that you're limiting that other team's star to only a handful of points. And so I think, like you said, Jorge, once Jamarco figures it out, then he's going to be a real problem moving forward, you know, especially as the men enter the second half of their season. You know, we have they have Marquette on Tuesday, followed by Creighton that following Monday. And so, you know, there's going to be two huge games for Georgetown, especially with Marcus Howard coming to town on Tuesday. And there's little to no doubt in my mind that Jamarco Pickett will be guarding Marcus Howard. You know, if he's not guarding Marcus Howard, he will probably be on their second best scorer, who?
Theo John?
Do you think he can?
Do you think he's fast enough to guard Howard?
Do you think he can guard Howard?
I think he can guard Howard for the simple fact because of his length. Marcus Howard will probably be able to blow by him at points, but I think Jamarco has gotten to the point where he can let someone get by him and still get up for the block behind. He did that a couple times yesterday where he was switched onto a smaller guard who got by him with that first step and then just trailed behind for either a hangover block or made the defender, made the person pass out instead of going for the shot.
If he can do that without getting in foul trouble.
Of course.
Yeah. Marcus Howard isn't exactly a blow-by kind of player. He's right. More of a shoot over you, over and over again kind of player.
And in Marcus,
shoot from the logo.
Do you have 10 threes in his last game?
Yeah. And in Marcus's lineup, he doesn't run the one anymore. He runs more of the 2-3, which is exactly what Jamarco kind of runs in our lineup. He really runs more of a 3-4, depending on who's on the floor. But I think that it'll be an interesting matchup to see.
What do you guys think of... I know Aaron, in our last pod after the Syracuse game, said Greg Malinowski was perfect from the floor. 6-for-6. And then he came out against Butler and just had the game of his life. Granted, it was easy for him to get open a few times. We also hit, like, a crazy step-back three, like, through the leg, step-back three. What do you have, 26? You have 26?
Yeah, 26.
Yeah, 26 yep. Points. And
10 of 12 from the field.
Yeah.
Matt McClung going down with an ankle injury, like, gave Greg this place in the starting lineup. He just took full advantage of it. And even though his points have trailed a little bit since then, he didn't score at all in limited minutes, against Providence, he is a constant threat now. He spaces the floor like no other. He's also a pretty good ball handler. Like, I trust the ball in his hands. So, what are you guys seeing from Greg? Where do you think he fits in?
Well, I mean, it was going very well until, yeah, I mean, yesterday he fouled out and only had, and I mean, he was over 3 from the field. But before that, I mean, even yesterday he just looks like so trigger happy now, which in like a good way. Like, I didn't see that like as much earlier in the season. Where he's just one of those players that you just constantly have to worry. Like you mentioned, you already mentioned this, but you just constantly have to worry about him because he's always ready and willing to shoot, and that's a kind of weapon that I don't know if Georgetown's always had. I mean, definitely not the time that I've been here, but having that kind of player, it totally spaces the floor, and it puts fear in the other team.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Butler game was a huge confidence booster for Greg. Like you said, Aaron, you know, after that, he seems to be taking shots more freely, more confidently. And I think that also does something for the rest of the team, because if they're seeing that Greg is able to shoot, they're going to want to, you know, try and replicate that same success so the team can succeed. But I also think it does something on a different level in terms of it helps other players get open. Greg, looking at the Providence game, there were points where he was double teamed, even triple teamed. And so that frees up one to two other people on the floor. And so as long as Greg, I think, has the IQ to pass out of the double team or the triple team and find the open person, it will continue to work in the favor of him being so hot and demanding, commanding so much attention while he's on the floor.
Yeah, and even when he's not scoring, he's impacting the game, like you said. I mean, he's passing on the double teams. He had 4 assists. He had 5 rebounds. Maybe only has 2 points, both from the free throw line, but they're still scoring with him on the floor.
Huge free throws, too. They tied the game mm-hmm. at 68.
Yeah, like definitely.
We haven't even talked about the big three, I guess, if you want to call them the big three on this team. Jesse Govan is far and away the best player on this team. I think he's far and away the best big man in the Big East. He's averaging 20 points a game. He had 33 against Providence, and it didn't feel like he had a career high.
Completely agree.
Working. I think Jesse could have 16 points in a game, and everyone would be like, God, Jesse had a bad game. Like we are just expecting 25 or more from him now in the Big East, like against Nate Watson, who might be the second best big man in the Big East.
Yeah, I mean, Nate Watson that gave him fits last year, too.
Fits.
I mean, you remember?
And he was giving him fits earlier in the game.
Yes.
And Jesse talked about this. He clamped down on him, and he made adjustments, and that's what you look for in an elite big man who's a senior, who knows how the Big East works and knows how to take control down low in a game, and that's what he did.
Yeah, you can see it in his mindset from when Coach Ewing pulled him and inserted Grayson Carter into the game.
Six points, two from three, Grayson Carter.
Beautiful looking shots too.
Big props.
Big threes that
he can shoot.
Yeah, he can shoot. But you can see the difference in Jesse's mindset from when he was taken out of the game to when he came back in. He was able to come in. I guess he figured out what Watson was doing that was allowing him to get the upper hand on Jesse. And Jesse worked to eliminate that, and it ended up working in his favor as, you know, the night progressed, because Jesse was able to draw a couple clutch fouls on him down the stretch, as well as force Watson to get subbed out of the game moving down, because he was not as effective on the offensive end.
14 rebounds and 4 blocks, just an all-around.
Those are both season highs for him.
Yep.
He had the game of his life, and no one has ever...
He also had...
That's the Jesse Govan.
Yeah, exactly. And he also had 3 threes for a second straight game, extending his game beyond the arc in his final season, way more than he did in his previous 3 seasons. He's become an all-around... I know Shamori Ponce is probably going to win Big East Player of the Year, but he's definitely making it a conversation.
Can't imagine that the Big East first team isn't Shamori Ponce, Marcus Howard, Jesse Govan, Miles Powell, and Max Strus.
Yep. That sounds about right.
I can't disagree with any of
them. Barring a major fall off from any of them,
might have to get hurt and someone else has to, like, go off the rest of the year, but, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think just in general, this is shaping up to be a very exciting end of the season just for all of their individual performances. You know, like we all said, you know, it was a quiet game by, I guess, some standards for Jesse yesterday because, you know, he didn't really have many highlight plays or he didn't really, you know, seem like he was in control of the game at all points. But, you know, 33 points is 33 points. And, you know, he made adjustments to, you know, make sure that he got his shot going. And so I think that, you know, moving forward, that's kind of the shot in the arm that he needed. And it will definitely be helpful for him when he's facing, you know, other big men that are on the caliber of, you know, Nate Watson or even on Jesse's caliber alone, to where, you know, he's able to be into the mindset of, you know, I don't have to be, you know, getting the ball every single time to score, but when I get it, I'm going to make sure I, you know, make it count.
Not to mention just for Jesse personally, I mean, coming into his final season, for someone who's looking to get attention from the next level from NBA scouts, I mean, to to put an all-around performance like that and then also be 8 of 11 from the free throw line. I mean, NBA scouts love to see a big man who can actually shoot from the free throw line. Not to mention, he can also shoot threes. I mean, he's becoming a real prospect.
His touch is beautiful from next to the basket anywhere else.
Yeah, he's shooting 53% from the field, 42% from three, and then 76% from the free throw line. So, you know.
Aside, after Greg, who was not on the floor for that final shot, he is Georgetown's best three-point shooter. And if you watch the game, the announcers were saying, they got to get the ball to Jesse. They got to get the ball to Jesse. And Mac McClung looked, saw Jesse go back and said, open, I have the ball.
He did apologize for that to Jesse in post-game. He said, hey, Jesse, yeah, I probably should pass to you.
And he just took the shot himself. Georgetown, I don't remember ever seeing a buzzer beater on like...
No.
Like that, like... running play,
they don't do that.
That never happened.
I mean, there was a quote from yesterday that said, we've tried that, we've tried to do that multiple times.
Yeah,
it's never worked.
Half the time, they don't even get into the front court, it's yeah. still in the back court. And time expires.
Oh, Pat's gotta be so happy after that game.
We were all there, so we all know what it was like to see that in person. The student section went crazy, the whole arena went crazy. There's 10,000 fans there. Then Mac just went off in overtime, hitting one of the most insane circus layups I think I've ever seen. Just, he and James then just propelled this team to a victory. It's felt like in the last few years, Georgetown didn't necessarily have the, like, fight, the grit to, like, win these games at the end. But, like, and that's not to knock any of the players who have played in previous years. Things just usually didn't bounce the right way. It seems like James and Mac are just like, and Josh in a sense too, are like willing this team to win.
Yeah, double digit rebounds again, LeBlanc. I mean, if you're talking about grit, I mean, he definitely brings that to the team.
Oh, yeah, he and DeMarco were just flying across.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing Georgetown didn't have was like a distributing guard. Like, Kendrick had 9 assists against Providence.
Career high?
Like, when have we seen a guard do that in our time here?
Yeah, career high for, you know, Kendrick, 9 assists, and, you know.
Seems like half of them are no look, too.
Yeah. He looked comfortable doing it, you know. He, you know, I think the first couple games of the season, you know, we were all kind of a little hesitant of seeing him, you know, face a double team or, you know, when he's navigating the full court press. And, huh, I see. when he's navigating, you know, a full court press. And now, you know, I think we're all a little more at ease now when we see him with the ball, because we know that he has, you know, very high basketball IQ, and he's going to make each pass count. And, you know, he definitely works his butt off for every possession.
So, they're 2-2. They're not 4-0, although they very, very well could be.
They should be at least 3-1.
This league is tough top to bottom. Even though last year they lost, the last 2 years they've lost to DePaul at home, it always felt like he was like, DePaul, that's the game we're going to win, right? DePaul, that's an easy game. There's nothing this year. Anyone can be anyone. And it doesn't, although Marquette is very, very good, St. John's is also very, very good. It does not feel like there's one team that we just know they're going to get blown out by 30 the way it felt with Villanova last year or even the year before that. They have Marquette on Tuesday, after that Creighton and St. John's, again Xavier again, and then they finally play Villanova for the first time in February. It's a while before they play Seton Hall for the first time, although Seton Hall also looking very good. They lost to DePaul.
They lost to DePaul.
So, really,
and St. John's lost to DePaul.
Can be anyone. People have been saying that about the Big East for the last few years, but more than ever, it really feels true this year.
Sleeper, St. John's is 2-3.
Yeah, and you know, I'll venture to say this, and I think I can say this about either one of our programs, both our men and our women's programs. But you know, they have the talent to compete with pretty much any team. And you know, I think from the women's level, from the women's side, you know, we saw that this weekend. You know, watching. At points, you know, them lead Marquette and DePaul by, you know, almost double digits, if not double digits. And, you know, we can see that with our men's program as well. You know, you see them, and at some points they're clicking, you know, everything is coming together. And so I think, you know, as if their confidence can turn, I'm not going to say that they could run the table because there's a lot of basketball left. But
no one in the Big East can run the table.
I definitely think that they, if they click, they can definitely win the greater majority of these games, and that they can definitely, you know, find themselves in the top four. if they work together as a team. And I think, you know, games like yesterday show that it's possible. For the men's side, games like yesterday show that it's possible. You know, shows that, you know, if they work together and they come together, they definitely can do it. And on the women's side, I think that if, you know, they kind of can find that one missing piece and figure out how to get it going, you know, Georgetown basketball will be something to reckon with moving forward. You know? Especially, you know, even if it's not noticeable this season, definitely in the seasons to come, the foundation's there. And so I think that, you know, this will be a very exciting, you know, rest of the season to watch, you know, both sides of the ball, for our men and our women, just to see how they end up, you know, especially navigating into their way into the Big East tournament.
I mean, my prediction is that every team in the Big East is going to finish 9-9. That's mathematically possible, right, Jorge?
I have to go through a lot of schedules and stuff, but probably. It's early enough that it's still probably mathematically possible.
Yeah, so that's my prediction for what's going to happen, and everything will play out based on how...
Based on the tournament?
And we send two teams to the tournament.
It's the two teams to the championship.
Can I say, for a little personal vindication, V for Villanova, top of the league, undefeated.
Probably not for long.
Yeah, not quite head and shoulders, but still top.
Not for long. If I remember correctly, they have a tough stretch of schedule coming up.
Probably, but you know, the 5-point win against DePaul looks all right now.
Everyone, each of you say what you think Georgetown's conference record will be right now. They're 2-2.
Their end of season conference record?
Yeah, their end of season conference record.
The men or the women?
The men. And they have how many games to play?
14 to go.
14 to go.
And do 18 minus 4 in my head that fast. My prediction is that they finish the Big East 8-10 and they make the NIT.
I'm very pessimistic generally as a person, but in this case I think 11-7, that's a possible record. 11-7, right?
It's a possibility, yeah.
11-7, sure. Yeah. NIT, I guess, probably.
I'm gonna go 10-8 NIT.
I'll say 10-6. I'll say 12-6.
Does that get them in the tournament?
The reason I say 12-6 is because of what I just said. I think if they can click and if they can find the right confidence, that they can make it happen. But I can also see like 9-9.
Does 12-6 get them to the tournament?
Depends on who they beat.
12-6. It depends on who they beat. They definitely need to beat.
They need to win over Marquette. They need to beat St. John's.
Marquette. Probably both times.
They need to beat Villanova because Villanova is about to be ranked again.
Villanova at least once. But I think that if Georgetown plays properly, it can happen.
If they don't get swept by anyone, I think 12-6 can get them there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely, I think, the best that they, in recent seasons, I think this is probably the best chance that they've had to make the tournament.
And the rotation is there. It's a very deep team.
If they just beat in Syracuse.
Yeah. One last thing that just comes to my mind really quickly is just the Javon Blair question. You know, seeing Javon Blair with the absence of McClung from the starting lineup, Blair got minutes. And now we're sitting here and you watch the Providence game and Blair comes in for the final shot in
overtime to inbound the ball.
Yeah, he didn't even take a shot.
No, he came in for the final shot in regulation.
Did he?
Touched the ball. Yeah, he didn't touch the ball because Jagan inbounded the ball to Mac.
But then he came in again.
And then he came in again in overtime and didn't touch the ball.
He inbounded it.
So the question for me becomes, where does Javon Blair find his role in this rotation?
I wonder if he hasn't been playing well.
It could be a practice piece. Because when he's on the court, he's not necessarily giving us, you know, as many points as he gave us last season, but I think that the potential is there. So I would love to see more from Javon Blair moving forward, just in terms of.
I feel like.
Where is Mac McClung, but we can actually see Javon. Twitter is not rioting. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the hesitance for playing Javon Blair does come from the defensive side, though. I mean, he's definitely had his struggles there. He clearly has offensive talent. I mean, he also has some shortcomings on that end, but I feel like the defense really needs to improve for him to get significant minutes.
Well, the Hoyas on both sides have a big week ahead of them, although it's the Big East, so
every week's a big week.
Every game is a big game. We will be back probably next week, as long as we all get drenched in homework.
And survive
the snowstorm. It's a long weekend.
Survive the snowstorm.
It's a long weekend. We'll be fine.
Long weekend.
Oh.
And the teams are away. Well, the women are home, but the men are away, which means that we just each have more time because we won't be going to the games, which just takes time. We'll always be watching. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at GUVoiceSports. And that's all for today. We will chat with you guys next week.
Teams goal, of course, Big East Championship.
I think we have a lot more length. And that's really one of our strengths.
No matter what we do, we always have to bring energy from the beginning.
Can't be just one person. It has to be the whole entire team.
Whatever happens, you gotta stay locked in, stay motivated, and do what you gotta do to be the player you wanna be.